You got to do because it's very important. And what would you do if you were a Harvard graduate and you were a good writer and you wrote for Parks and Recreations, the hit NBC show? Well, probably what you would do is stand good on your laurels. But my guest today, Megan Amron, has done that and a little bit more. She has written a very interesting science book. Now, I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because it's a very interesting science book, Science for Her, Tips for Hosting Your Own Bang Science, Your Own Big Bang Science for Her. This is a very interesting book for a very smart and very talented young lady that is going to tell you the difference between organisms and orgasms and going to tell you a lot of different, very interesting, hot reproductive sex tips, all the science you need to know. And I want to welcome Megan Amron to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm terrific. Thanks. This is a very interesting book, as I said, for a Harvard graduate and a very successful writer for the hit NBC show Parks and Recreation. This is a very interesting science book. Now, I have an 18, almost 19-year-old daughter. I think this is definitely the textbook for her.
Yes, that is the prime demographic. So your introduction made me think I should just maybe be super lazy and rest on my laurels. That seems
right. Pretty
fun too.
You could
transition into that.
You could. But
yes, it really goes off the rails more than your ordinary science textbook, let's say.
Yes, no, I'd say it definitely goes off the rails. I mean, there's a lot of interesting male anatomy in this. There's a lot of interesting, very interesting, I must say. Interesting, lots of things, like how to freeze your eggs. And as I said, do you know the difference between an orgasm and an organism? I mean, you know, you have to be a science major definitely to know this. Who did you write this book for? Probably that 18 to 19-year-olds, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a science textbook that looks like a Cosmo, as you explained a little bit.
It's true. It looks like the cover of Cosmopolitan. This is exactly true.
Yeah, which is just to try to help ladies who may not be able to grasp real science textbooks, just to give them a little window into the world of biology and chemistry and why you want to have babies all the time and why you can't drive. It just really brings it down to our level.
So, I mean, there really is honest science in here, too. Why women can't drive, speed, velocity, displacement, spatial reasoning. I mean, it's all a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Now, when you were at Harvard, as I mentioned, you are a Harvard graduate. Did you study science?
I did not. I studied psychology, the softest of all sciences.
Yes, really. Social
science. But I have always been very into science and math. I considered majoring in math at Harvard and then realized that was not the path my life was going to take.
No.
But this is the way that I got back into it. I read a ton of high school science textbooks and a ton of Cosmos and Glamour and Marie Claire to research for this book.
Oh, well, and it shows. And, your picture here really shows. I mean, you're dressed up just like a good old Cosmo girl. But you're kind of satirizing the way that men and women see each other, especially, and I'm reading this here, that the way women cut each other down. And that you're sure that there are great women who get along better than men, but you haven't met them yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think that the tone of the book is, it's a very satirical editorial voice where in these women's magazines, it appears that the narrators are both pretending like they're best friends with the reader and also making fun of them for being fat or not having a boyfriend. And I loved that sort of passive-aggressive push and pull. So my narrator of my book, Science for Her, is like that times 1,000.
Yeah, no, that's definitely that times 1,000. Now, as I said, you are a writer on Parks and Rec. That's a fun show, and that's a great job. I mean, how long have you been there? Do you love this? I mean, is this like your favorite thing in the world to do?
Yeah, I really do. I've been here for 3 years. We're working on our final season right now, which is very bittersweet. And it really is just such a treat to work here since all the writers are very smart, nice people, which you can't always guarantee both of them, but we're very lucky. And the cast is incredible, obviously helmed by the amazing Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And I think, are writing a show that hopefully is very funny, but it's also pretty progressively feminist, and that's something that's on my mind a lot. So it really is wonderful to write for those kind of characters.
Do you think that your generation is a little bit more feminist in a different sort of way, that, you know, not so much trudging through to change things, but just being changed, to just absolutely just doing it rather than kind of asking for permission?
Well, I do. Yes, I think it's completely informed by the internet, which you can't separate from anything anymore.
Right.
But it is an interesting wave of activism, which now is taking place completely on the internet with various types of writing, or, you know, even just celebrities speaking out, or public figures very publicly calling themselves feminists. It all is being discussed at such a length online, and I think that's how you have to fight your battles now, is through your writing and speaking online.
And you're pretty big online. You're pretty big on Twitter. You have, what did I read? Did I read like 400,000 followers or something outrageous like that? Wow. So you're the darling of social media. So
that is a title I never thought I was going to have. If you told me that 10 years ago, I would have slapped you in the face and said, "What are you talking about, you witch?" it is. It's been a very amazing and interesting part of my life, which is that I got my total start in comedy writing through Twitter, and just writing public jokes and little pieces for my blog, and that all sort of turned into this book, which is my longest form project, just individually.
Well, it's a beautiful, I mean, I have to say, this is a worked on book. I mean, you really put a lot of work into this. This is not a small little tongue-in-cheek, little small, you know, book that has nothing to say. This is a big book, well done, beautifully laid out, very colorful.
Thank you.
You know, as I said, you know, it looks like a Cosmopolitan on the front, and it has a very lot of interesting chapters, earth science and botany. And let me just say that all of this is a bit tongue-in-cheek. Certainly, there's a lot of humor in this. And, you know, that's an interesting thing you just said, that you got your job as a writer on Park and Recreations through Twitter. Does that kind of thing happen? Are those that are listening out there that are big on Twitter, can opportunities come from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it more was that I was, people knew who I was because of Twitter, and then I had written for a few other shows and had my own longer writing projects. But it is such an incredible tool that is not going away. I think I thought that being a Twitter comedian was a blip on the radar of writing, and was going to, people were going to get sick of it. But it's been years, and it's still such a big part of the landscape of comedy. And I don't think you can go away from something where you get immediate feedback from your jokes. You're connected to everyone at all times. So it is going to be, I think, here for a long time.
Well, I think good is good. And I think regardless of where you are, when you're good, someone's going to see you, and you're good. So, you know, you're very clever, you're very smart, you're very capable, and you're very funny. So, I mean, that's all you have to be, regardless of where you put it out there, someone sees. So, you know, that's the positive side of the internet. So that really worked for you. I'm reading here, what religion is right for your body type?
Yes.
that's a very interesting thing, an apple-sized, a pear-shaped, boyish, plus-size. I mean, there's a lot of interesting, fun things in here.
Well, if you're an apple shape, you might choose Buddhism, with a very famous apple shape, Buddha himself. And plus size, you might choose a more orthodox religion, just to make sure you cover up all your problem areas. Excuse me. That was the most fun thing about writing this book, was figuring out a way to take science, and then also pretty much anything, and just turn it into the most sexist thing I possibly could. And it's a fun little game to play with yourself. It's pretty easy to do.
I bet. Now, did you write this totally by yourself? You had your partner, ex-boyfriend, in on this with you as well?
I did write it all by myself.
Uh-huh.
The narrator, Megan Amram, who wrote the book, is a lot different from the real life Megan Amram. The one in the book is extremely obsessed with her ex-boyfriend, Xander, to the point of psychosis. And becomes addicted to drugs and loses so much weight. She goes into a coma. She really just has a roller coaster of a life.
Oh, wow.
My real life is a little more tame.
That's a good thing. Well, for us, both are really good, because I'm glad you're tame, but I'm glad your writing is not, because it's great fun. You've done a great job on this book, Tips for Hosting Your Own Big Bang Science for Her. It's a great book, really fun for everyone, and especially for my teenage daughter. Megan Amran, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's a great book, everyone. Everything is on Shannon's Corner, as always, so just go there if you're in the car and you just don't write it down right now. Just go there later on. When we're going to take a break, when we come back, we're going to talk about what you don't need to do in the boardroom, and one of those